If somebody had the energy to write a biography of me, they might write that I graduated from Emerson College in 1992. That's certainly when I walked with the graduating class and my classmates who had come in with me in 1988. But in point of fact, if you were to really dig deep and go into my transcripts, you would find that I actually graduated in 1993. This was because of one missing credit, and I took a summer course to make it up. The reason I was short one credit was because of an event in 1992 that I don't talk about all that much. It's the time in my life that I fell completely apart. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, William Hearn, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Let me preface this by saying that I'm fine. Talking about times in my life that weren't so great doesn't really affect me. It doesn't cause me to relive them or have feelings that linger on. I'm fine telling this story. But if hearing about somebody hitting some sort of spiral affects you, this is not the episode for you. It was my senior year at Emerson College. I had a mass communications in film degree. My classes officially ended in the beginning of May. Sometime around the end of March, I was hitting the last few months of my last semester at the college. And for some reason, one day, I stopped doing anything. I had an apartment on Beacon Street, about two blocks from the main college campus, so it wasn't a matter of convenience or distance. Just one day, I stopped going out of my apartment. I still try to get my head around where this started, and I'm really having trouble figuring it out. I think part of it was that after years and years of having a track, even if it was a general one, of where my life was going to go, I was now starting to hit bends and curves for which there was no script. When you've been in public education all your life and then immediately after go right into college, it's all kind of planned out for you. You know that this class is happening or this event is going to go on. You know that a month is coming up and you'll either have to be in school or out of school at that time. You have, in other words, an outline for your life. But when suddenly you start looking over the end of that scheduled time, for some, I think it feels like doors are opening up and you're running out into a field of possibilities. And for others, it's a dark abyss, a sense of going far from the shore and suddenly realizing that it's not just sand that is gone beneath you, but a yawning hole of darkness and uncertainty, and you don't necessarily believe in yourself enough to think that you can keep swimming and not sink. I was 21 at this time. My parents had put me into school early because, and prepare yourself, they were concerned I wasn't vocal, and they wanted to ensure I'd be more communicative. That worked out, but one of the side effects of that was that I was always a year younger than a lot of my classmates. So I was 21, and classes were starting to wrap up, and with it, college. My apartment was a third-floor walk-up, and frankly, it felt a little bit like a converted closet. It actually had a bunk put into it to turn it into a bedroom, so it was not really that inspiring a location. It overlooked an alley, and I could hear the sounds of Boston echoing at night, but otherwise, it was just an isolated cocoon, and I suddenly felt an urge to not do anything. The way that this played itself out was that I would just lie in bed and sleep, sometimes for hours and hours and hours, with a shade drawn and with darkness filling the apartment, all day and all night. A lot of it was just me sleeping and not going anywhere. First, I missed a day of classes. Then I missed two. Suddenly, it was a week. I lost track of time. There was no urge to see other people. There wasn't really anything coming out of me. All I wanted to do was sleep. I've seen this a few times in my life, usually related to trauma or stress. I am one of those people who goes to sleep and sleeps off all of the concerns and then wakes up refreshed. Except I wasn't getting refreshed. I'd wake up, stumble around, drink some water, snack off of what I can only assume was an unhealthy sort of food, and fall asleep again. By the third week, I was having trouble remembering that I was going to college, that there were classes, that somewhere there was something going on that needed my attention and that my degrees depended on. There wasn't the kind of connectivity we would have now. Now I think there'd be people wondering why I wasn't posting on social media or Twittering, or my school would be paging me because their system would have my cell phone number and tell me something was off. I just fell between the cracks. None of my family lived in Boston, so nobody was visiting me. I was just gone. It's been 30 years. I couldn't tell you what was going through my mind. If I try to correlate it to how I have felt in the years since when things like this have happened, it's usually just an overwhelming feeling of, I could really go for a nap right now. And then hitting a deep sleep, so deep that I don't dream or imagine or think of anything. And then eventually, I wake up. Except back then, the waking up didn't really happen for weeks. By the fourth or fifth week, I started to come out of it. I started to think, wasn't I going to college? Wasn't I doing something? And then I had what I think for some people is an actual nightmare scenario. I had kind of forgotten where my classes were being held. I kind of forgot who was teaching them. I didn't know what days they were. I started to think that maybe I should get dressed and maybe I should start thinking about how to go to college again. By the time I figured it all out, some of the classes had actually stopped meeting. It was the last week and a half of school, so they had closed and there weren't going to be any more classes. I started to arrange meetings with my teachers. For some reason, I strongly remember those meetings, if not everything that came before. Some teachers were very sympathetic. In fact, I had done enough work in the first few months of that semester for them to give me a passing grade, you know, a C+, a D, something that would let me get through and claim the credit. You know, the joke is that, what do you call the last person in the medical class? You call them doctor. And you could call me a successful student. You could say, for some of these classes, that I passed. But one teacher, she wasn't having any of it. She had told me, basically, I can't in good conscience say you took this course. I'm going to have to fail you. And unfortunately, her credit was one of my requirements to graduate. After finally bringing this all up with my family and talking with the school, it was arranged that I would take a summer course. It was also arranged that I would walk with my classmates as if I had graduated, except that I wouldn't get a degree and I would get one later that I could put in the holder when I finally actually graduated. That summer, I lived on in my apartment and things took a turn for the better. The class I ended up taking was called American Jazz. and I took it because it fulfilled the requirement that I needed. And other than that, I didn't know anything about it. There were 6 of us in the class, and our teacher was named Tony Sinamo. Tony, it turned out, was famous in the area. He was a jazz DJ, an expert in the history of jazz. He had suffered a stroke a few years earlier that he had been recovering from. So he had an assistant with him who would drive him there in a car, bring out his records, and then he would talk about jazz. And he was beautiful in his stories. They were musical in their own way. He would weave through what we were hearing, ask us to hear notes in the same way that he did, to understand how different vocalizations worked, and how different influences came together to create what we call American jazz. And I'll never forget this. At one point, he was telling us about how a label had changed its name a couple times, and one of my classmates went, "Mr. Sinamo, will this be on the test?" And Tony looked at him for a little while, and he said, "Man, it's not going to be on the test. You're all getting A's. We're just talking about jazz." And then all of us smiled, put away our notebooks, and just enjoyed jazz for the rest of the summer. I got my A and then graduated from Emerson College in 1993. I learned 2 things from all of this. First of all, everybody has limits. Everybody has periods when they feel weighed down and lost and sad. Anything that portrays otherwise is a lie. I went on to a lot of wonderful things, but I never forgot that in me was the capability to get lost. I guess from that point on, if I started to feel that happening, I found ways to distract myself. I also had a much wider network of friends, people who would notice if there was something wrong, people in my life who would turn to me if I disappeared and say, "Is everything okay?" And I would tell them that it wasn't, and we would go do things. That's continued to the present day. And also, for that darkness, I would not have given up that summer with Tony and his beautiful voice and his believing in the power and the strength of jazz for anything. And maybe what's waiting for us on the other side of any abyss is something we'll treasure forever. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Mark Pilgrim, Scott Roseanne, Scott McGrady, Joshua Stein, and James Bakoyanu, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt.